One thing that teachers like us are always looking for are new ideas, better ways to manage our students, to have incredible classroom management that decreases problematic behaviors and increases student engagement. And one of the things that I do to create that kind of environment and to de-stress our teacher life are class competitions. In fact, when teachers are working with me in their schools, or if I look at the data on this podcast, the number one question, the most downloaded episodes, the thing that teachers can't get enough of are my monthly classroom competition ideas. Maybe you have tried my ideas with a giant deck of cards. Maybe you have tried my Uno strategy. Well, guess what? I got a brand new class competition that I just busted out this year, and it has been crazy successful. And I want to share this dynamic dice idea with you. That's right, baby. And this one, we are rolling some dice, and it got my students rolling in a positive way this school year. Now, before we get into this dynamic dice idea, I want to read a 5-star review that was left by the listener of the week on the Apple Podcast app. The listener said, 5 stars, right when I need it. I've been listening to Monica Genta's podcast because this school year is so different than any others. She is hitting the nail on the head. It's like she's speaking to me. I hear you. Thank you. This podcast is amazing. Well, Jam4, thanks for being the listener of the week. Your review and all these written reviews make a huge difference when it comes to people finding this podcast. So if you are looking for a dynamic idea that gets kids engaged, organized, motivated, having great attitudes, then you're going to want to stick around because I'm going to be dishing it out to you using dynamic dice. Let's get this idea rolling. Oh, see what I did there? Yeah, let's do it. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. So here's what I noticed at the beginning of this school year, and I'm actually kind of curious if you noticed it as well. Our students struggle to get into the routine of norms. And I'm not just talking about like back to school norms. Transitioning from summer life to school life is really, really hard. But what I'm talking about are like basic things, like bringing a pencil to class. And I want to be very clear. I understand that it's just a pencil. But for many, many years, our students haven't really had to bring a pencil, because they've either been at home or because everything went completely digital. So having a pencil was like, why would we need a pencil? And before we'd be like, are you serious? Why wouldn't you need a pencil? But they're like, no, seriously, why would we need a pencil if we have a Chromebook? Same thing applies with paper. I'm like, okay, everyone get out a scratch piece of paper. I want to work out this problem with you. And they're like, what do you mean a scratch piece of paper? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean? Like, don't you have loose leaf paper or like a notebook or like something in a binder, like literally a scratch piece of paper? And they're like, why would we need that? And in the past, again, we'd be frustrated, like it's a basic school supply, but students just got paper from their house, or we weren't allowed to collect papers. So we were like, no, I don't want to touch your germy papers. So there's just been some things that we haven't required of students. And now from their perspective, kind of out of nowhere, we're asking them to bring these supplies again. And I know that's going to be a little bit different for every age group and for every state, quite frankly, but I think this applies universally to education. Our kids are maybe not as organized as what they once were or were 10 years ago. Our students maybe aren't as accountable or maybe as good at just like some self-management skills. And so the question is, are we going to complain about it and be like, man, these kids are so different, or like, that's not what it was like, you know, 10 years ago. I don't know why that accent came out, but like, you get what I'm saying. Are we going to complain about it? Or are we going to be about it? Are we just going to like constantly be negative and dwell on it? Or are we going to do something to fix it and to be proactive so we're not constantly being reactive each day with our students? Well, I think that we have to be more proactive. And so one thing that I default to in these moments where I'm getting fired up and I feel like I'm getting elevated, and elevated for me is not getting like loud with kids, like I'm not a yeller, but like I know I'm elevated when I take my hands and they go to my face and I go silent. Like, silent for me as a teacher is probably scary for students because I'm loud, because I'm energetic. Hands on my face and me going silent is probably a symbol of, oh snap, she's stressing. And they're right. So this past September/August, was I stressing? Oh, I was stressing in a massive way because all of those things that I talked about, paper, we need paper. Hello, we're doing math, or hello, we're doing reflections. Pencil, hello, something to write with. Like, shit, even a highlighter, I don't care, all right? Like, do you have something to write with? Is your Chromebook charged? Because we might be using that. Do you have your planner? Because no planner, no pass. That's just a school policy. So these things that kids needed, they weren't doing. So I thought, all right, Monica, you know what it's time for? It's time for a competition. I don't know what that noise was. I feel like I'm making awkward noises in this episode, but just follow along with me on this, okay? So what I decided to do was create a competition where class periods could earn points. And in this competition, you want points. Points is a good thing because the class period, the student family with the most number of points at the end of the month was going to win. How do you earn points? Simple. Bring your stuff. Bring your planner. Bring your pencils. Bring your paper. Bring your binder. Bring your Chromebook charged. Bring your advisory folder. Bring your math folder. You get to pick whatever it is that is stressing you out. Pick it. What's the thing that at this point in the school year you feel like your kids have not mastered? Whether it's a behavior thing, whether it's an organization thing, whether it is an assignment thing. If you could target one thing right now, what would that be? Well, the competition that I want to tell you about is something that I targeted in September because we were struggling with organization. So at the $1.25 tree, that's right, the $1.25 tree, let's call it what it is, there are these foam dry erase dice. I love these dice. In fact, if I have ever done SEL or advisory consulting in your school, if you've ever seen any of my videos about morning meetings or things like that, I use these dry erase dice for a lot of dynamic things in an SEL, social emotional learning kind of way. But I thought, you know what I've never done? I've never used these dry erase dice for a competition. So I got one of the dry erase dice. And on this six-sided dry erase dice, I actually took a Sharpie because I was like, I don't want this to erase. I want this to be permanent. So on the dice, I put on one side paper. On one side, I put planner. On one side, I put pencil. On one side, I put charged Chromebook. On one side, I put roll again. And on the final side, I put folder. So these were kind of like five things plus a roll again. Five things that kids need to be bringing, in my opinion, and in my classroom on a daily basis. So at the beginning of my first hour family and third hour family and fourth hour family and so on, I would roll the dice with the things on it. And let's say it landed on planner. Well, I would do a quick planner check. And I would say to that second hour family, everybody hold up your planner. And they would get it out of their binder, or they would unzip their little pouch, or they would just have it and they would hold it up. So I could visually get a check. Do we all have our planner? Because in my school, the planner is an organization tool, but it's also your hall pass. So no planner, no pass. If the kids need to use the restroom, go to the library, go to the office, go get a drink, whatever. They've got their planner. No big deal. But no planner, no pass. So this incentivized kids to bring their planner. All right? Let's say hypothetically they were having a hard time getting their math assignments turned in or their advisory assignments turned in for my classroom. That's why I had folder on it. Well, a folder is an organizational tool, so kids aren't smashing everything into a binder or having all these loosey-goosey papers flying everywhere. And it's like, wow, why is there a tornado happening in your locker? A folder is a practical, simple, inexpensive organizational tool. So if it landed on folder, I would say, hold up your math folder. Let me see that you actually have only math things in that folder. And these were just quick checks. Kids didn't know which item on the dice it was going to land on until the very start of the class period, which meant that they were naturally motivated to bring all of them because it was random chance. They had a 1 in technically 5 chance of ending on each of these items because there was a roll again. So that already caused kids to get more organized, to be more prepared. Just them not knowing what the dice was going to land on immediately solved so many of my stressors. Why? Because it was luck of the roll. Oh, come on. That's good stuff. Now for my competition, what I was looking for was 100%. So if I had 27 students in my class, I was looking for 100%. All 27 students had that paper, had that pencil. If you are teaching younger grades and you're like, we would never get to 100%. If that expectation is too high, here's what you could do. You could literally get another dice, and you could have a dice that says 50%, 65%, 75%, 100%. You could do a dice with various percentages on it, and you could roll another dice. For me, I have 7th and 8th graders this year, so I decided to set the bar at 100 P, also known as 100%, because I really do feel like that's reasonable for that age student. But again, you could have a things dice, and you could have a percentage dice. Now, I know a lot of you listeners, this is making sense already because you're thinking, okay, good. I've got 7 class periods a day, or I teach high school, or I teach middle school. So kids are constantly rotating in and out of your classroom. However, I also want to address that a lot of you are elementary school teachers and you're like, well, what the heck? I only have 1 group of kids per day. So what you could do is instead of saying, hey, my second hour family is trying to beat all the other classes, what you could do is you could set a numeric goal. So let's say hypothetically you teach 2nd grade. Well, you could set a month-long goal of 150 points. And if your second grade family hits 150 points, then they have reached their goal, okay? But we haven't talked about yet how they're getting the points. We know what we're looking for. You have picked a behavior or you've picked an expectation. Perhaps you've picked a percentage. Now, how do they get the points? Well, it's another dice, baby. Now, you could totally do this with dry erase dice. You could do a dry erase dice with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. You could get an actual dice from like your Yahtzee game or from Farkle or something like that. But what I did was I found an interactive dice that I could post on my Promethean board, or if you have a smart board, just something for the kids to see. And if you've got a touch surface where you can invite students up to actually hit roll, Ooh, that makes it really fun. My students are so psyched to come up to the board and click the button that says roll. There are a lot of free interactive dice that you can create or that you can use just using like some Flash software. Completely free. Google like free internet dice. Well, I found one that you could choose how many sides the dice have. You could choose up to what number it goes. You can pick how many dice roll at a time. But we were always rolling two interactive virtual dice. And I would invite two different students up. So let's say we all had our math folder. I would pull a popsicle stick and I'd be like, yo, PETA, congratulations, come on up and roll the dice. And let's say PETA rolls a six. We're like, boom, boom, boom. Let me hear you say, wayo, that's a six. That's great. But then let's say Maddie comes up and hits roll and it's a two. We're like, woo, two. Okay, we'll take it. Now we've got two numbers. We've got a six and we've got a two. Cool. But here is the last dice. Oh my goodness. Get ready for the last dice. I took one more dry erase dice and I put plus, minus, multiplication, division. Then I put the other two sides. I pick, you pick the sign. Oh my gosh. So, okay, so a six and a two, if it rolls on a plus sign, an addition sign, they got 8 points. Because PETA rolled a six, Maddie rolled a two, six plus two is eight. If they landed on a subtraction, it was six minus two. Oh snap. 4 points. Hey, that's a win. 4 points. That's better than nothing. All right. Let's say it was six times two. Oh, shoot dang. Oh, shoot dang. Six times two. That's 12 points. Come on now. Come on. What if it's six divided by two? All right. Six divided by two. That's still good. We still got 3 points. You know what I'm saying? Of course, kids lose their minds. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind up in here, up in here. When they would land on the you pick the sign, because they're going to choose the one that's most mathematically advantageous. Most of the time it is multiply. All right. So a six times two is going to be a 12. That's amazing. Now think about this. If PETA had rolled a two and Maddie had rolled a six and we land on subtraction, can you lose points in this competition? You can. Okay. So two minus six is minus four. So can you subtract from this game? Yes. So is there an element of math? Oh yeah, for sure. And half the classes that I teach this year are math. So the incorporation of math on my part was intentional. Does it add a whole lot of excitement? Yes. Does it add a whole lot of like this like kind of like drama that I don't mind because it's like educational drama, which is much better than like the personal like mean girl or like tough guy drama? Yes. It adds this element of real life. So to recap, before we get into the what do you get if you win, we've got a behavior or a things dice. What are you putting on your dice that is currently problematic or causing you stress? The next thing is, well, what is your standard? My standard is 100%. We do not roll the number dice unless 100% of students in the classroom setting did what they needed to do, because we're operating as a family. If that doesn't work for you, do a dice with percentages. Maybe it's 50%, maybe it's 75%. I'm using two interactive dice rollers, and students get to do this part, where we're getting two different numbers, all right? So far, we got four dice maybe for you. I use three, maybe the fourth dice is your percentage. And then the big question is, okay, but what happens to the class who gets the most points? What happens if we reach our numeric goal? We're gonna get into that in a second. This class competition is basically a built-in game. I am one of those people who loves games. I love competitions. I love just positive energy surrounded by some sort of activity. And one thing that I use in my classroom all the time, besides competitions, are something that I call battle brackets. These are great conversation starters. These are great for getting to know students, and these are great for connecting to curriculum. Basically, a battle bracket is an 8-part graphic that has 8 different things that are connected to life, connected to curriculum, connected to learning, that creates a catalyst for conversation, dynamic debate, and intentional connections to the curriculum. It gets students talking, it gets students thinking, it gets students thinking outside of the box, agreeing, disagreeing, but doing so in an organized way. I think battle brackets have been probably one of the most important relationship building pieces to my classroom puzzle in the past few years. If you haven't checked out battle brackets, this is your reminder to do so. You can go to monicagenta.com/shop. That's Monica, GENTA.com/SHOP. I'm going to put a direct link for battle brackets in the show notes, but I promise you, these are fun, really affordable, really dynamic, engaging things. They're going to bring your relationships and your engagement to a whole new level. Check out the link in the show notes or go to monicagenta.com/shop to look at the battle bracket portfolio today. All right, now that we know the how and we know the why, let's talk about the what. We know how to set this up. We know why we're doing it in the first place. But the most important thing for the kids, and you know they're going to ask, is what do we get if we win? And quite frankly, it's a valid question. In a society where there are winners and there are losers and there are trophies and this kinds of thing, like, our students are going to want to know, so what are we working towards? We as teachers are working towards happiness. We are working towards a paycheck. We are working towards a paid insurance plan, hopefully, in your school district. So, like, what are they working towards? Of course, we want it to be, like, organizational skills. You're working towards organizational skills. You're working towards being a better human. You're working towards just us not nagging you all the time for your supplies. But what's the what? And here's how I set it up with my students. Is once we get halfway through the month, or maybe you're working towards a numeric goal. So maybe when we get halfway to the goal, let's say the goal is 100 points. When you get to 50, that's when we talk about the what. I do that for a few reasons. One, it creates really early buy-in. They don't know what they're working towards yet. So you get momentum because they're like, oh my gosh, we don't even know what we're working towards yet. It's exciting, okay? Then you get about halfway there. There has been proof of concept. They have bought into it because they've got points on the board or they're halfway to the goal. Here's how I establish the what. I ask students. Like, I will literally say to students, all right, we're midway through September. And maybe you're not doing this in September. Maybe you're doing this in a different month, but you're midway towards the end. What are you guys going to be motivated to get? What is it that you do want? Now, I ask students always in this conversation to be reasonable. Know that this is coming out of my teacher bank account. Know that this is something that has to be reasonable money-wise. Reasonable time-wise, reasonable, like if the principal were to ask what in the world's going on or walk in and see us doing whatever the award is the principal going to be like, whoa, this feels off? So make it reasonable, but I also want it to feel like a reward because you guys have worked really hard to get to this point. So what is it that you want? And I'm always fascinated by that because I think we immediately assume kids are going to say, like, pizza party. And they're like, God, a pizza party is so expensive. We're like, you need to bring in donuts and soda and this. Or like, we're going to pick a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. Like, kids are actually more reasonable. Do they sometimes want food? Yeah, sometimes they do. But it's not always like a $30 pizza party. Do they sometimes want to watch something? Yeah, but it's not a 2-hour movie. Sometimes they're satisfied with a 32-minute episode of Is It Cake? Do you know what I mean? Sometimes do they just want to play? They just want to do something? Yeah, they might be like, we just want to play kickball. We just want to play, a round of Yahtzee. Maybe that would be a really fun reward for this, right? Like, bringing in Yahtzee, playing yard Yahtzee or playing in-school Yahtzee as a reward for this. Taking a break from your lesson or your, normally scheduled activity and doing something completely, purely fun with students. This is one of my favorite things to do. I do a monthly competition almost every single month. This is the specific one that I did in September, but I wanted to share it with you because it doesn't have to be in September. You could literally call this Dice in December. All right? You could call it No Nonsense November. You can call it whatever the heck you want. But the how has been established. The why has been established. You know how you're going to roll out the what. Now the big question is when? When are you going to do this? When are you going to say, I'm going to try it? Because literally the day after I implemented this, my teacher life got de-stressed. Were 100% of students buying into this every single day? Absolutely not. Did I get 100% compliance every single day in September? No, there were absolutely times when we did not roll the dice. Sometimes was it because of a handful of students? Yes. Sometimes was it because of one student? Yes. And I want to be clear, if I noticed the one student over and over was the one who was not bringing the planner, or it was that same student not bringing paper, that becomes an individual issue. Because I know a lot of you are like, well, if you're playing as a class, what if one student is ruining it? What if one student is sabotaging it? Well, as teachers, we're trained to look for patterns. So if I noticed a pattern of the same kid not having their Chromebook charged, the same kid not having paper, the same kid causing us to not roll, that became an individual issue. And I certainly wasn't holding back roles from students because of one student. Now, here's what's really, really interesting is during the month of September, it wasn't just one student. It was kind of like one of those things where my seventh graders, both of my seventh grade classes this year, knocked it out of the park. It was my eighth grade classes this year that really struggled. My eighth grade math classes and my eighth grade advisory classes. My two seventh grade math classes, yeah, loved it. Nice work. Seventh grade SEL, nailed it. Boom. So is it an age thing? I don't know. Is it an accountability thing? Yeah. Is it a teamwork thing? Yes. You guys, these competitions aren't about punitive measures. These are not about getting everyone to be compliant in a school setting. It's about life skills. It's about competition. It's about camaraderie. It's about rewarding kids for crushing it. It's about saying, you know what? We need to all get on the same page. And if we get on the same page and we crush it, I'm going to reward you with something. And it adds a little bit of whimsy because there is a lot of random. It's a dice roll. And because of the variety of dice, you could land on a one and a one. One times one is one. But then the very next day, you could land on a six. And six times six is 36, baby. So this kept kids on their toes. And it wasn't until the very, very end that there was a clear winner. Dynamic dice rolling is what's up. So bust it out this November, bust it out this December, bust it out in February. You bust it out whenever you want. But I hope that it creates some dynamic dice and de-stresses your teacher life once you really get it rolling. Teacher friends, I hope the audio version of this was exactly what you needed to truly understand this concept. However, if you've still got questions, if you still want feedback, if there's anything that I can do to help support you in this idea, please feel free to shoot me a message on Instagram, shoot me a message on Facebook, on Twitter, on the TikTok. I'll do whatever I can to make this crystal clear so this works really, really well in your classroom. I am pumped that you are here listening. I am pumped that you are hopefully subscribed to this podcast. If you're not, as a reminder, every single Sunday, new episodes are dropping, so you're ready for your commute on Monday morning. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you in advance for checking out the link on those battle brackets that I mentioned at halftime. I think you are going to love those. You know what I love? I love that you're here with me each week, and I love that we are living this teacher life together.